Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, everybody, on this hot Tuesday afternoon. Headline in the Star Tribune involves a topic related to the death of George Floyd that we've discussed an awful lot, but the Tribune had a very good story on it, so we want to jump back into this topic. The headline, Cops Stopping Cops, Rules But No Training. The story from Randy First quotes a number of people on what is happening and what is not happening in this area. We wanted to reach out to somebody very good on this topic, and we have tracked down Sue Rare. She is the executive director of the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission. Sue, tell people what that is and why that is relevant to the concept in particular of the death of George Floyd, younger officers and other officers stepping in when they feel like a superior officer may be making an enormous, and in this case, a mistake that ended up killing an individual.
Well, the concept of culture is extremely important in the profession of policing. Policing, by its very nature, requires officers to have very strong self-regulation because most of what they do is involves discretion and decision-making. Until very recently, most of what they do was out of sight of the public. And the profession of policing intensifies the need of a person to be part of a group. So in policing, asking a new officer to step up and confront a senior officer is extremely difficult.
Is it any better today than it was, let's say, a decade ago?
The culture?
The ability for officers to step in when other officers are making what they think is a significant mistake.
I would say we are on the road to improving that problem. Up until very recently, most of law enforcement focused on, or law enforcement leadership, community leadership focused on a deterrent method, so to speak. And they would employ rules and procedures about the requirement for officers to intervene and stop misconduct. The problem is, for rules and regulations to work, the officer has to believe that they will be caught and that they will be punished. And we know that neither of those is likely to be the case. And so for just normal human psychology, if a person doesn't believe the consequences are going to be swift and sure, they're not going to be effective. The consequences of challenging the culture and stepping in and confronting a senior officer, the consequences of that are ostracization from the group. And
yeah,
that's
right.
A pretty swift and sure reaction.
Right. And I think that's the perception, whether it's fair or not, from a lot of us who believe that most officers are making the right decision. But
I believe, like, that's the case.
Right, like every position, you're going to have people who aren't good at what they do and need to be corrected. Very few of them have the implications of a police officer, though. So let me give you an example here of what an individual was quoted in the Star Tribune story, where you were quoted also. Eric Misselt, I hope I have that right, interim executive director of the Minnesota Peace Officer Standard and Training. They do initial training of officers and issue license. He said he's unaware of any law enforcement peer intervention training in the state. To me, that is stunning that we don't have, when you are training officers for what can be an incredibly difficult job, to then not train them about what may happen and how you should step in?
Well, let me clarify that a little bit.
Okay.
I think in most states, officers are trained about the rules and they're trained about the requirement to intervene. What is uncommon, and I don't think happens very much, is training them how to intervene. And that's what makes the new program that I've been involved in so different, is that training redefines the culture. It redefines what it means to be loyal to your group. And by doing that, it focuses on the very culture, and it focuses on an internalized belief system. And so if officers are trained to perform skills that are rooted in research, and the leaders they work for create policies and procedures to ensure that an officer will be supported when they intervene, that will change behavior. So it's two-pronged. Number one, you have to train the officer about how to intervene and why that works. And then you also have to train leaders and provide them with the tools to create an environment where officers are reassured that they will be supported for intervening. So it's really the real change here is we're not just going to require on adherence to rules. We're going to go directly at the culture, and that's where the behavior will change.
How will you know that this program that you're involved in is working and has created a different type of culture?
The best we can do at this point is to evaluate attitudes before officers receive the training and evaluate their attitudes after. Ongoing, you know, designing a longitudinal study will be important to see if there are more incidences of officers stepping in and intervening. One of the things that we don't have a good grip on yet in law enforcement is good data collection, because law enforcement is such a localized service. There's 18,000 different ways to deliver it, and there's 18,000 different ways to gather data
sure.
on what officers are doing.
The story we're talking about here is from the Star Tribune, from Randy First, Cops Stopping Cops, Rules But No Training. Sue Rare is our guest. We're talking about that and programs that Sue believes in. She's executive director of the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission. Let me read you a part of an email from the chief of police in Minneapolis, Madera Arredondo. Regardless of tenure rank, any sworn employee who observes another employee use any prohibited force or inappropriate or unreasonable force must attempt to safely intervene by verbally and physical means. Employees who attempt to safely intervene shall not be disciplined to the same severity as if they themselves engage in the prohibited, inappropriate, or unreasonable use of force. What is your feeling about those comments from the chief of police?
That's a very good policy, and it's very clearly written. Now they need to do the rest of the work on addressing the culture and providing the training to their officers. And then they have to demonstrate when officers intervene that they're supported. That's the hard part.
Last thing, and I'll let you go. Because this story and the death and now the murder charges with the four officers, Derek Chauvin and the other three officers, because this video has been witnessed millions and millions of times, we're having a debate in the state about where the trial might take place, whether video will be a part of it, but the coverage will be extensive, and a lot of coverage will be on what did these junior officers do and not do. Do you think this will have an effect on other officers throughout the country, further convincing them that they need to follow the policy, they need to change the culture and step in, be more forceful when they see something that they think is wrong, even if it's from someone who trained them or who has been a police officer for close to 20 years?
I think it will have a tremendous impact. And I know from my point of view, as we begin doing this training in Washington State, this example will be front and center of this is what happens if you don't intervene.
Sue, thank you very much for your time. I greatly appreciate it. Good information. We'll reach out again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Once again, Sue Rare, Executive Director of the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission. You want to react? I know we're getting text during the interview. You want to react to this? Some of the other quotes in the story, if you saw Randy Furr's story. We'll react to that and get to other items. Don't forget, Joe Freeberg is with us at the bottom of the hour on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.